Yeah, thank you very much for this opportunity, for the organizers, particularly Lisa Durso, who contacted me. I'm learning a lot of soils this afternoon. And I want to talk about some of these plant secondary compounds, bioactive components in plant communities. And I call that they are called secondary, but in reality they are primary because of the roles that play in ecosystems. And these primary roles of these secondary compounds in plants, they provide the plant several multiple functions, as protecting the plant from the UV radiation. They provide adaptation of the plant to different stresses, like water stress and so on. But the main function of these bioactive compounds in plants is defense. So they prevent basically the herbivore to extract much tissue from these plants. So they evolve basically in an arms race between the herbivore and the plant. So that's the problem number one we have with these compounds. If you want to put into production agriculture, is the negative impacts that these compounds have on intake. We put like ergotamine, which is an alkaloid present in endophyte-infected top fescue. We put it into the rumen of an animal. I'm moving now to the critters above the soil. And then you see an immediate drop in food intake and productivity due to these secondary compounds. Another problem we have is, and that was a great talk from one of the previous speakers on diversity, is that monocultures dominate our cultivated pastures. So that's another problem that we have to face, and compounded with the issue of secondary compounds and intake. If these compounds reduce intake and productivity in plants, and then we grow plants in monoculture, it makes sense that breeding programs have tried to select against these secondary compounds, and of course favoring protein and energy. But then during this process, we see that these monocultures, and we see that all the time with producers that raise their cattle and sheep in rangelands, they have these negative impacts on for one, in the environmental hardships that plants suffer from different stresses, pests, and so on. And then we have to resort in fossil fuels-based fertilizers, herbicides, and so on. But at the same time, also we see that on herbivores that basically suffer the negative impacts of these monocultures without these secondary compounds. And then we have to resort into antibiotics, antihelminthics, and also even nutrition and supplements to sustain the well-being and humans. So the idea is that these secondary compounds then at least provide some solution to these problems, to resort back to nature and to products that basically help sustain health in consumers. Recent research started, particularly in the 90s, started to look at these secondary compounds and the benefits that they provide to the herbivore as antiparasitic, bactericidal, attenuating bloat, enhancing the immune system, and even providing properties that enhance meat and milk quality. So, but then we have the problem of, as I was mentioning before, constraints on food intake due to these secondary compounds. So how can we keep our secondary compounds in agroecosystems with these negative effects on productivity? So one of the first doctors, right, that mentioned that several years ago that the dose makes the poison. So one idea is to probably reduce or restrict the amount of secondary compounds that the animals consume, and then basically keep basically the best of both worlds. So keep the function of these secondary compounds in ecosystems, and at the same time reduce the negative impacts on animal productivity. And as an example, we conducted a study several years ago where we see that if the animals are exposed to a monoculture, or in this case to a ration with only one secondary compound that impacts a particular metabolic process, like for instance terpenoids, which are particular secondary compound metabolized by the liver, tannins that are basically excreted by the gastrointestinal tract, and oxalates, which are metabolized in the rumen of the animal. If the animals have these monocultures or just single rations, we see that the intake of the animal is constrained. But then if the animal have choices of multiple secondary compound containing rations, we see that the animals can achieve similar levels of intake compared to animals that don't have any secondary compound, and at the same time, they can basically harvest these secondary compounds from their environment. So that's one option that was even presented several years ago, but it's being tested now in recent years. So, and then another, well, that's pretty much going back to the previous presentation on diversity and the idea that plants, basically nature grows plants in diverse, so diversity is a rule and not the exception. So the idea with our project in irrigated pasture was, in a sense, going back to the future. It's going back to these old cultivars with high levels of secondary compounds, going back to Kentucky 31, Top Fescue, San Juan with high contents of tannins, and all cultivars of saponin, of alfalfa with high levels of saponins. So, but instead of offering these pastures basically in monocultures, the idea is to provide this in a diverse arrangement. And as I'm thinking in this particular scenario with cows, we offer animals choices among strips of these different secondary compound containing legumes or grasses, and then allow these animals to basically self-regulate their intake and select the proportions of these different legumes as a function of need, and basically taking advantage of this diversity as opposed to the monotony of a single pasture. But also looking at these effects, we're not only looking above ground, but also a little bit below ground. And then these plant secondary compounds have really important functions in basically organic matter decomposition and nitrogen mineralization, because they have antibiotic effects. So one effect is being antibiotic, so affects the bacteria in the soil. And they also are, being bioactive, they complex with different enzymes in the soil, which also can retard these processes on decomposition. And actually, a colleague, a recent paper published in the New Physiology, basically Lindroth and colleagues, they speculate that these secondary compounds have like an afterlife effect, so that the main function of these compounds in plant communities is to actually retard the way that these the processes of nitrogen mineralization, such that the plant can basically take advantage, in this particular case in aspen communities, take advantage of this absorption of nitrogen from the soil. And some research we conducted with legumes, we see that high tannin San Juan reduced the enzymatic activity, in this case in the hydrogenase, in soils. We're also finding that tannins and saponins reduce soil nitrification. We can also reduce nitrogen, nitrate leaching. So those are the variables that these secondary compounds can have on soils. But also on plants, when these plants grow in monoculture versus when they grow like grasses growing with legumes, we see an increase, of course, in crude protein. But what we also see is an increase in the toxins, in nitrogen-based toxins like ergobalin, which is one of the key toxins in endophyte-infected Top Fescue. So the plants, by having more access to nitrogen, get even more more defenses, and the animals basically having choices. They can trade off select plants that grow by monoculture early, by alfalfa early in the day, so they select the endophyte infected Top Fescue growing by alfalfa early in the day, and then as the day progresses, they reduce their preference, and then they mix. By doing that, they harvest more nitrogen early in the day, and then they dilute that the ergobalin by reducing the preference later in the day for alfalfa, for Top Fescue that grows in a monoculture. Moving back into these different systems, now at the animal level, we have these secondary compounds impact animal health. We know that this, for instance, condensed tannins have negative impacts on parasites, endoparasites, by particularly having an anti-helminthic effect, and also by improving the nutrition of the animal, basically enhance the resilience of the animal to this parasitic infection. We are basically looking, offering again these different these different strips of legumes and tannin-containing legumes. We are asking the question, well, are animals able to select these bioactive legumes based on their need or based on their infection with the mucus, which is a blood-sucking parasite that affects their health, of course. We see that animals with parasitic burdens, they increase their preference for tannin-containing rations, and actually they vary their selection on a daily basis, and then they actually, on some days, show preferences for tannin-containing rations, even above the rations without, that they don't, without tannins. In pastures, well, and then by doing that, we see that the fecal egg counts, which is an indirect measurement of parasitic burden, declines with this selection, and also some parameters of their health, like pack cell volume or hematocrit, is improved by selecting these tannin-containing rations. The same when we see in choices among Sanfo and Sizer milvage, which are Sanfo is a tannin-containing legume, and Sizer is a non-bloating legume. We see that animals favor the Sanfoin, and then by doing that, their parasitic burdens decline. It's not the ideal antiparasitic agent, it's not like a chemotherapy, but the levels of the parasitic burdens allow the animal to produce, even with these levels of parasitic infections, which are reduced by the consumption of Sanfoin. And also some parameters, health parameters, hematocrit, red blood, cell counts, and so on, is improved by the animals consuming this Sanfoin. But then, looking at diversity, what happens if we combine multiple secondary compounds containing plants with these different bioactive components like saponins and condensed tannins? We know that in isolation they have an effect, but what happens when they are combined? What we found is that basically, in this case, the association is negative. So, like in the graph at the bottom shows that when the animals have the monocultures or just the tannin-containing or saponin-containing rations, their fecal egg counts is lower or the parasitic burden is lower compared to animals that have combinations. So, in this case, the saponins and tannins are interacting and then reducing the effectiveness of the treatment. So in this case, this interaction leads to a negative association that reduces at least antiparasitic effects. But then in other situations, plus combinations of these bioactives leads to a different outcome. In this case, tannins from legumes and then ergobilin from endophyte-infected top fescue, they bind to each other in a way that they lead to an inactivation. So that the ergobilin binds, the amine group binds to hydroxyl group in the tannins, and then that leads to reduction in the activity of both secondary compounds. We had evidence in vitro showing that the activity of this ergobilin is reduced by tannins. In a radial diffusion test, we see that the diffusion of this of the tannins is reduced when these tannins are bound to ergobilin. We also have in vivo data showing that when the animal is infused with a condensed tannin, so they receive tannins in the rumen and then they go out to graze and select these different pastures, they increase their preference for endophyte-infected top fescue when they have rumen, when they have tannins in the rumen. Also, when we use a polymer that binds to endophyte-infected, that binds to tannins, so that the effect of tannins is negated by using this blocker, which is a polyethylene glycol, we see that all the positive effects of Sanfoin on top fescue intake is reduced, like intake drops when the animal receives polyethylene glycol with Sanfoin and fescue, and also several physiological parameters indicative of fescue toxicosis is negated when you provide this blocker that reduces the activity of tannins to bind to the alkaloids. So moving up in the chain, so we have now consumers, and then some of these secondary compounds and positive effects on milk and meat products. We have evidence showing that shedding of E. coli 157, as it was mentioned in this symposium, how this pathogenic bacteria is reduced, so the shedding of this bacteria is reduced in animals grazing versus trefoil, which is a tannin-containing legume, relative to grasses or legumes without these condensed tannins. So there's evidence that the antibiotic effects of these secondary compounds is reflected in the shedding of E. coli 157. Also, this, some of these antioxidant bioactives, phenolic compounds and condensed tannins, increase the shelf life of meat products. So the oxidative stability of that meat is enhanced when the animal is finished on a tannin-containing legume. And then also by the antibiotic effects of tannins, some of these are reflected in reductions in rumen biotransgenation, and this leads to a reduction in the proportion or changes in the proportion of saturated fatty acids and polyunsaturated fatty acids. So the meat of animals finished on condensed tannins rations or condensed tannins containing legumes have a greater proportion of polyunsaturated fatty acids because of a reduced biotransgenation in the rumen. These studies I was showing you before in terms of animals having choices between legumes and grasses, we found that cattle grazing sandfoin and tough fescue had a greater Marvin scores, quality grade, so they were select and the animals finished on alfalfa were standard. Bad factitiveness also was increased in the cattle grazing sandfoin, and also the steaks from cattle finished on sandfoin were redder in color, so the antioxidant activity was enhanced when the animals were finished in this tannin containing legume. Sheep finished on diets containing saponins and tannins, or choices between saponins and tannins, we found that even saponins reduce lipid oxidation in the meat. We also found that the polyunsaturated fatty acid is also increased in animals consuming condensed tannins. And then also cholesterol was increased in animals finished with sandfoin and saponins. Saponins are being used in human medicine as a chemical that reduces cholesterol. So we found that in the tissue of animals finished with sandfoin-containing rations. Another potential benefit of these components is reduction the off flavors in meat. Condensed tannins reduce the production of skatol, which is a component that produces this off flavor in meat. And that is reflected from the rumen to the fat of the animal, so that that particular chemical is reducing concentration. And then we see that in a consumer liking score, when you have taste panels, they showed an increased preference for the meat finish on animals that have these bioactive components when they are on pasture. So basically, in order to finish this, is that bringing this dimension of plant secondary compounds to the health of plants, herbivores, and consumers in general. And the idea is that this diversity might lead in some cases to interactions that not necessarily may lead to a benefit to the consumer or to the animal, that to the herbivore. So more research, I think, is needed to focus on how these different combinations, this diversity of plant secondary compounds may enhance or decrease the impact of these secondary compounds on from soil health to animal and human health. And then the idea that these compounds also may provide one common ground where managers and scientists can start discussing ways that we can create sustainable systems where we plan on keeping these natural products in our pastures as opposed to just try to weed them out and replace them with the nutrients and then provide these secondary compounds as medicinal components in agroecosystems. So that's here is our site where our extension people are basically putting some of these beneficial effects of pastures in into a website, and also there's a list for basically people can receive this information by email. Thank you for your attention, and that's all I have.